I wasn't here last week, if you guys didn't notice. So no comments, though, on the way out. People say, oh, that was one of our best church services last week. That hurts. But I also heard that Shane wasn't here. By the way, he does send his deep apologies. I got those this morning. Evidently, he had been sending a couple of them all week long, and I wasn't around where I could email him. I will email him later today and say that you guys aren't going to beat him or anything if you see him. He said, I've been sick all night long, but he's better now. So he's better, we're better. I didn't let it bother me too much while I was gone, because I'm going, ain't nothing I can do about it other than have somebody call a church and tell him he's not going to show. But anyway, I did get an email that said, church was good. Had testimonies, had singing, had readings. It was good. Now, a lot of denominations, whether you know it or not, a lot of denominations, almost every denomination at some point says, we are going to be a New Testament church. We're going to go back to the way things were in the New Testament. We're going to find that vitality that the New Testament church had. Folks, what happened last week was what the New Testament church really, really was. The Bible says, Paul says, when we get together, let there be singing, spiritual songs, hymns, teaching, sharing, building each other up. It doesn't really hinge on me or the choir or, sorry Phyllis, the piano player. It hinges upon the people who are assembled together, and that's what the word church means, is an assembly. When the people are assembled together, let them build each other up. And that is what causes a vital or a growing church. And if it was that way every Sunday, do you realize the onus? That sounds so bad. But the effort then is not on me, but it would be on everybody else to always be saying, what can I bring to the church that will benefit the church as a whole? And it spreads it around so that everybody is striving to come up with something that will benefit the church. And that's why the New Testament church did so well, is all the different people were involved in sharing. So congratulations. It was a good church service. I hear I wasn't there. I guess nobody recorded it. Too bad. I would have listened. But I'm glad you guys did that. It's a sign of a healthy church also. Going right along in that, but I'm going to back up just a little bit. When Christ was someplace in the New Testament, you read about Him, there were three groups, three categories, or three types of people, I don't know exactly the proper word to use, who would come to see Him. The first group, and probably the most massive, was the people who were curious. They're the people that stand in line at a grocery store and read the tabloids. You know, the grocery store tabloids about the bat-faced boy or the wolf guy who's on the prowl or the Yeti, Bigfoot is roaming around in southern Illinois. Whatever happens to be the story of the week. They're standing there going through this. These people are curious. They want to be on the trendy, cutting edge of stuff. They want to know what's going on. So they come. They're followers. They're nosy. They like to gossip. So they just show up to these places to see what's going on. And a lot of people were showing up just to see what Jesus was doing and what He was going to pull next, or what were all the rumors that they had heard around the water well. You know, things don't change much. Now they hang around the water tank at the offices, and used to they hung around the water well at the village. The stuff that they're hearing around the coffee pot at the Tin Cup or someplace like that, a little free advertisement for the Tin Cup there, was the gossip true? And so they would just go to see what was going on, kind of like a circus going on. When it comes to town, they would be excited. Hey, let's go see what Jesus is doing these days. Another group of people that would come to these were power brokers. People who wanted to see and be seen. People who wanted to rub elbows with a star or somebody who was fantastic. You know, they would say, yes, I knew him. And And then they would either pass judgment on him, two thumbs up or two thumbs down. We didn't like him. We didn't think he was totally sincere. Well, look at him. He wore sandals. He had long hair. We don't think that's quite proper attire for the Son of God to be wearing. And they would score him. They would want to use him. It's the elite people who were wanting to use Jesus to their own benefit. They didn't care what the prophecies actually said. They are on a power trip of enhancing their own position in the community or in the nation at large. And they wanted to know, could they use Jesus? Would he be malleable so that they could use him to their benefit? And if he's not malleable, if they couldn't pull him in and manipulate him to their benefit, then they would use him as the attack so that they could say, we're better than him and you need to follow us because we're going to protect you from that radical. They didn't care if the prophecies were fulfilled. They didn't care if it was the word of God was being pronounced. They didn't care whether he was actually pulling off the miracles that had been reported. Even if they saw him, they didn't care. They only had one thing on their mind. And what can I get from him that will enhance my position? The third group of people that would show up with him were the people who had a need. They knew they needed something. They knew they had been to doctors. They had been to priests. They had been to synagogues. They had been everywhere they could think of. And their need had not been met yet. And there was Jesus. They had a need. These same people came with faith. They had heard through the grapevine or through family members, this Jesus was able to do great works of power, power that had only been manifested by the prophets of old, and he was fulfilling the prophecies concerning the Messiah, the Savior, the one who was coming to lead them and to redeem them and to bring them closer to God and bring the children and the parents back into a loving relationship. They came in faith saying, this man can help me. Remember, different ones would say, if I can just touch his garment, I have faith. If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be all right. If I can just get close enough to him, if I can express my need. The blind guys, remember them? They were yelling out, Jesus, the Son of David, is what they said. Have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us. They knew that if they could get his attention, that he would manifest his kindness toward them. They were people who had need, people who had faith, and they were people who had a hope. A hope, biblical hope, is always a sure thing. They knew that they had a need. They knew that Jesus could take care of that need. And they knew that if they could get him to touch them, speak to them, or look in their direction, or even let his shadow fall across them, things were going to be all right for them. They had a sure and confident hope. Those are the type of people who came around Jesus. I was talking about the church earlier. And this is not just Glenwood Church, but all churches. Why do people come to a church? They come because elite power grab. They come because if I go to the right church, I will become influential in the setting, in the town, in the area. I need to be in this particular church, and they will leave one church to go to another church if it puts them in a more influential position. They will try to hang out with the minister, be seen with him, have their picture taken with him so that they can go to the board meetings, the coffee shop, or any place else and say, oh yeah, me and the pastor down there, we're tight, we're friends, I can call him up. We always speak when we see each other. We're buddies, we're pals. And this goes on. I had one person one time tell me, said, he wasn't quite bold enough to say, hey, I need you to enhance my career. But he did say, remember this, one hand washes the other. You take care of me, I will take care of you. You watch out for me, I'll watch out for you. And we can do better than what we're doing now because we will help each other become promoted. He didn't care what I was teaching. All he wanted to do was get this promotion thing going so he could move up. There are always the curious people. They'll show up just to see what's going on. They come through the doors, say, I want to go down there. I've heard rumors, or I want to see that person, or I've always seen that church. I'm just curious what kind of a church it is and what kind of a fellowship goes on there. Let's just go down to that particular church and see what's going on. There's always the curious people. And I don't have anything against curious people. I'm curious. I go to different churches a lot of times because I'm like, gee, I've heard of this denomination. I just want to see it for myself. Like I said, there's churches I would go to. Snake Handling Church. I would go and look through that window from the outside. But I would be there. And I would just be like a little girl going, ooh, they got snakes, they got snakes. I don't like snakes. I came home and there was a snake on my front step. Ugh! I don't like snakes, but curiosity would finally overcome my fear of snakes if I could just, I would watch it. Anyway, then there's the people who come to churches for the right reason. They have a need. They come to a church because they have a need, and they have been to all sorts of people and situations and gatherings, and they have not had that need met. So they come to a church with a need. I hope those people who come to this church or any other church, but I hope people who come to this church will come with a need and say, I believe there is a God. I believe there is a Christ and Jesus is His Son. I trust that He will be able to meet my need. I have the hope that if I can just get into His presence, at some point He is going to meet my need. Even if it's just His shadow comes across me, my need will be met. And there are people who come to churches for that reason, and they're coming in the right way, and they're coming with the right attitude. A lot of people will say this, and they say it to me. Well, at least they're going to a church. Well, at least, that person's going. And they'll name different denominations and groups, and they'll say, well, at least, they're going. At least they're going. And I'm going, the word least is really the major word right there. Does it matter what church you go to? Most people say, oh, it doesn't matter, it doesn't matter. But according to Jesus, it says this in Matthew 18, verse 20, and you don't need to flip to it, in Matthew 18, 20, it says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am also in their midst. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am also in their midst. And it also says in 18, just the verse before that, where two or three agree, I will hear and answer their prayers. So we've got this verse, these two verses, that people fall back on all the time and say, well, they gathered in His name, therefore it doesn't matter what church you go to. But it does. It really, really does. Because not all churches, and the word church does not mean the building. The word church is an old, dramatic King James word in Scottish. It's called kirk. Kirk. It just means a group of people who are meeting. And it doesn't matter whether it's a Lions Club, a Rotarian, or a Southern Baptist denominational church of 100,000 people showing up. The church is the assembly itself. And it does matter. Because Jesus in the book of Revelation is talking to the seven churches in the book of the Revelation. And He says to one of the churches, if you don't repent, if you don't come back, I will remove your candlestand. I will take away your candlestick, some translations say. I will take the light out of your church. The Holy Spirit's presence will not be in your church. And yet He refers to them as an assembly. That's because that's what they are. They're an assembly. And they gather, quote, in His name. They're there supposedly in His name, but they are not walking in His ways. They're not walking in faith. They're making the power grab. They're becoming the elitist group. They are so far off in their doctrine that He can't stomach them. Their teachings are wrong to the place that He says, I don't want anything to do with you, and I'm removing your light. And yet that church, that assembly will go on. It does matter what group you associate with. In the book of the Revelation, also in chapter 3, He says that "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." This is the Laodicean church. It's the last church, so if you want to read it. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone will let me in, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me," and all this stuff. But the letter is written to a church. He is locked out of that church. There are churches who actually lock Jesus out. They don't want His presence in their church. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof, is what it says in the Scriptures. They're there, so it does matter what congregation you affiliate with. If you want a power grab, go to the elite church. But if you want the presence of God, you need to find a church that is walking by faith and not by sight. A church who is assembling to worship Jesus Christ and trying to read the Scriptures and say, whatever it says, that's what we're going to go with. We're on an adventure. We're on a faith walk with Jesus, and we're going to follow Him and see where He needs. It is important what church you go to. If you have a need, you need to be very careful in selecting your church, because there are churches who will gladly have you come, churches who will gladly count you, churches who will gladly take your money. There's churches who will gladly show you the door because you don't fit in with them, because they have a certain image they're wanting to project, and they will let you know that you're not welcome and where the front door is, or better yet, they might show you where the back door is, because they don't even want you to come out of their door, because we wouldn't want people to see that you had walked into that particular congregation. It is important, because if you have a need, any need, if you have a need, you've got to go where Jesus is if you're expecting for Him to answer that prayer, to meet that need. You've got to go and say, He is in this assembly. He is here in whatever assembly you're going to. He is here, and He will meet my need. That's faith. And I am going to trust Him, and I'm going to persevere in this. I'm going to be there, and He is going to meet my need. We need that faith. We need that hope. We need that recognition. So don't ever say, well, it doesn't matter where they go, just as long as they go. It doesn't matter unless they have a need in their life and they're trying to get that need taken care of. It doesn't matter if they don't care, like the Pharisees, Sadducees, whatever name you want to give them, in this, the elite people who don't care about Jesus and their eternal salvation. They just need the illusion that they are upright people. It doesn't matter to them. Well, then it doesn't matter what assembly they go to. But if you've got a need, or somebody has a need in their life, you need to steer them to a place where Jesus Himself is showing up, because two or three are gathered and because two or three people are in agreement that that need will be taken care of. God is in the presence of that assembly that meet those criteria. People who walk by faith and not by sight. Now, I'm back to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 through 39, and I'm going to trundle right through this again. "Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. For yet a very little while, he who is coming will come, and will not delay." And I have a mansion over the hilltop, is right where that song would fit in. "But my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul will have no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul." There are promises made in that particular part of Hebrews. God has made promises, and if you come with confidence, if you come in verse 35, you come with confidence, you will receive your reward. It matters where you go to church. If you're believing for somebody's salvation, it matters where you go to church, because you need true believers to agree with you in prayer and say, I am agreeing, I'm praying for your need, for the need of your family, for the need of your loved one. I am there for you, praying that they too will come to know Christ. it is important where you go to church. But you need that confidence. I'm going to a place where Jesus is, and I'm confident He's going to listen to me, and I'm going to be rewarded because of my confidence in Him. It also says that we need to endure. We need not to give up. Endure, 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 and you will receive what is promised. Have confidence and have endurance. Be bold, because the people who are confident and have endurance are boldly standing saying, He is the Christ. I'm walking by faith, not by sight. I'm not going to shrink back away from this. I'm taking this stand that there is a Christ, and He's in the congregational meetings. He is there. And when we meet together, I say a prayer and say, Jesus, I'm here with Your people. We are together. Your presence is here. I ask that You would pass by my way and meet my need, or meet the need that I'm bringing to You, which is the family need, or just whatever your need happens to be. God, meet my need, and I'm going to keep coming back and waiting upon You. Have that boldness. Be enduring. Be pushing to keep right there. What I'm saying is this: keep coming back to church. Keep coming to a church where the presence of God is. If He hasn't met your need that week, say, I'll be back because He will meet my need. I will be back. I will endure because He has promised that if I endure, He will give me the promised answer that I'm going for. He will meet my need. It's not always, and a lot of people have this mistaken idea, that in the Scriptures, Jesus always answered prayer, boom, like that. But there are instances where I'm talking all of Scripture here, there are instances where prayer was answered, but it took a while for the answers to get there. And that's just as biblical, just as godly, because sometimes God's going, I need you to grow up. I need you to become a strong soldier of faith, because yes, I will meet your need, but there's other things that's coming, and I need you to help these other people to stand strong. When you join the armed services, they don't just hand you a gun and yell, go out there on the field and start shooting the enemy. They say, no, you're going to get the opportunity to do that, but before you do that, you got to go through some basic training so that you will know which end to point at the enemy. You'll know how to handle yourself. You will know how to take the proper orders. And a lot of times, we have a need or a desire in our life, and He said, okay, but I need to put you through basic training as a Christian so that you'll not just have this and you, it's just like the lottery I won and run off. I need you to stay true. I need you to be a Christian, and I need you to build up other people who are in the congregation. So while it looks like I'm stalling you, I'm actually giving you a way of becoming stronger as a believer. Be bold, be strong, stand in faith. If we do this, we are promised success. We are promised that we will be rewarded. We will get those results. We need to keep coming where Jesus is, because we're going to get benefit from it. We're going to get dramatic results. It's coming our way, but we need to come back again and again and again so that we can grow and experience that grace. A lot of churches never have a grace experience where something happens and people can't stand up and give a testimony. They can stand up and say, I earned a big paycheck and I bought myself a car. Or, you know, they can do those kind of things. It's self-accomplishment. But where the promise of God is, it's, I have a need and there's not a thing I can do about it. There's no way I can meet it. But the grace of God, His kindness toward me, is going to be what answers my prayer, and I will receive from Him. I will receive from Him. Then when we receive, we can stand up and testify. Folks, I guess what I'm saying is when we come to church, to Glenwood Church, we need to come in His name. We need to be in agreement with each other in prayer. So if somebody is praying up here and they say something you agree with, you don't have to shout. It's all right with me if you do. Just say, amen. I agree. I want to see that happen. I want to see it happen in their life. I want to see people on the sick list to get better. I want to see God bless this congregation. I want that for these other people because they need to be built up, because there's coming a day when I'm going to call upon them to pray for me, and I want them to be strong in faith and to have experienced the grace of God. We need to come in faith. And if somebody doesn't mention your particular need, when you know Jesus is here, you can tell Him yourself. You don't have to shout it out. You can just say, "Jesus, I have a need. I know You're here. I have a need. Would You meet my need? Take care of it for me. I'll be back next week, and I'm going to keep talking to You about this continually, because I know You can deal with it. I know that You can, and I'm trusting You to do it. So until next week, I'll be back. I'll be back." Now, am I saying that Glenwood is the only church? No. I'm not saying that. Is there a particular denomination that hits it? No. Not every denomination and not every church inside of a particular denomination is actually a church where Jesus attends. That's why I'm saying it's important for us to attend churches where we know Jesus is. We need to be gathering and we need to build each other up through our prayers. And even when we're not here, pray for other people within the congregation. If you see a need or you hear of some need going on in a person's life, say a need or say a prayer for them, because God does hear and answer your prayer. And when somebody prays, say amen, amen, amen. Yes, God. Let it be. Make it so. Oh yeah, I agree with that. God will hear and answer prayer, and we will have more grace experiences within this physical location of where we meet from the people who come here. Keep coming. Keep going to church. Keep going to church. Keep going to church. Keep going to church. And go with a need. Go expecting. Go in faith. Go in endurance. And He will hear and answer your prayers. Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, we do want those great experiences going on here. We always gather in the name of Jesus Christ. We gather because He told us to. And we know that He is here with us. He walks among us. And sometimes it's almost so real we can just almost see Him or feel Him or hear Him speak to us. And we'd be glad if He would show up like that sometime. But Father, until then, we take it by faith, not by sight. We do agree that there's a lot of needs here, and we agree that You will answer their prayers. You'll answer their needs in such a way that they know that it was God and God alone that answered it. Father, all the churches in this area who are truly gathered in the name of Jesus, we agree with their congregations that their needs will be met also. We want to do this because it's important that all Christians grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, and all people would be exposed to the salvation of Jesus Christ, the gospel, the good news. Help us to be bearers and sharers of that good news. Bring honor and glory to You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.